I'm Donald Waters, and welcome to Pocket Cinema, a conversation show about Spider-Man, Tommy Adams, and much, much more. Today on the show, we have...
Hey, everybody, it's Nate, and we're also joined by...
Tyler Karsten.
And today, we have a special guest. He goes by the name of Tommy. Tommy, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing all right. Thanks for having me.
Yeah,
excited to talk with you.
Yeah, Tommy is a former professor of mine, and he knows a lot about movies, so I'm very excited to have him on. He's one of the first guests who I wanted to have on when I started the podcast. So we got a few things that we want to talk about, but first, how was your week? You know, we don't have too much time here with Tommy, but, I mean, anything? Anything you want to say?
Busy.
Busy? Yep.
I know you were
eventful.
Busy.
Eventful, huh? Tommy, you're going to Vegas?
Yeah, I'm heading to Vegas to see my family. I'm going to go run in the desert for a little bit and back on Easter.
Wow. Okay. So the first thing I wanted to talk about was the new Roadhouse movie. So me and Tommy have both seen the original Roadhouse, but Nate and Tyler have not. So, yeah, it's going to be pretty interesting to hear what they have to say. None of them finished the movie, I don't think.
I got halfway through.
Yeah, but so what did you think of what you saw of it, Nate?
It was fine. Like, I thought it was funny, you know. But I don't know, it wasn't anything, like, spectacular to me.
Yeah. Tyler, how much did you watch of it?
Zero.
Zero.
So you've seen neither movie? The old one or the new one?
Nope.
That's the thing with Tyler.
This is a trend.
Yeah, we just have him on.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I loved you recapping Casablanca.
it's like what happened.
Yeah, so Tommy, what do you think of the original Roadhouse? I guess we can.
Oh, okay.
On.
So here it is. I'm a big fan of the original one. I was a late comer to it. I did not see it, you know, back in the day when I was younger. But I maybe a little bit, but I mean, I wasn't a big fan. But man, I love it. I think it's. I'm right in line with the folks that think it's a top tier bad movie. And I have a few things to say about it. And I watched the new one too. I was thrilled. I was excited to watch it. And it's also it's trying some things, but I'm not sure it succeeds. But I still had a great time.
So I can agree with you on one thing, that the original Roadhouse is bad. It's not that I don't get any enjoyment out of it, but it's just so damn cheesy. And there's a certain point where I'm like, guys, it's getting old. But yeah, the main thing that I like about it that they don't have in the new Roadhouse movie is that he's like a formerly educated like guy who likes philosophy, and it's a really funny juxtaposition. And then the new one, they just have him as an ex-UFC fighter, so it takes that away from it. But yeah, so the original, I would probably give it like a 5 out of, I've seen it a million times. I don't know why, because I don't like it, but I would give it like a 5 out of 10. Like it's not the worst thing ever, but I don't know. It's just really cheesy. Yeah. So about the new Roadhouse, Nate, since you've seen like half.
The ex-UFC fighter thing is kind of weird to me, because at the start of the movie, or like probably 20 minutes in, he's like, nobody wins in a fight. Like, why were you... And I didn't finish it, so you know there might be something I'm missing. But I'm like, well, then why are you a pro wrestler? Like, it doesn't seem like he loves fighting. It's just something he does. Mm. But it was funny. Like, I think it's... Like I said, it was funny. I like Jake Gyllenhaal a lot. But a lot of the side characters from where I've been were just not exactly, like, noteworthy. They were all kind of bland to me. But you know, I was laughing. You know, I enjoyed it. You know, I was off my phone on it too, so I gotta say, like, it had my attention at least.
And for the people at home, Tommy's currently in an airport, so that's, you may hear some noises from the airport, but that's okay. Tyler, why don't you tell us what you think happens in Roadhouse?
This is my favorite part.
Dr. Tilton came up with this segment, so thank him for it.
Okay, so there's this guy.
What's his name?
Well, it doesn't matter. No name.
Oh, it matters. It matters because everybody knows his name.
It's not very important. It's not as play any part in the story. So it's kind of like a Jack Reacher situation.
What? How so?
Yes, we know Jack Reacher. He's like a really good like fighter guy, and he just he finds himself in this roadhouse, and then it's just mainly a big bar fight for most of the movie.
That's not wrong.
Just one big bar fight.
Yeah, and then
he has his thinking cap on.
So then John Wick shows up.
And what happens?
What's he? Everybody, you know. After that.
Oh, we know.
Okay, yeah. And then, so John Wick shows up after he got his 69 Mustang restored. And then they drive off into the sunset together.
John Wick and the unknown name guy?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, you got one part of that, right?
There are fights.
Yeah.
There's a bar. There's a bar.
There's a bar.
Yeah, yeah. So, Doug Liman directed this movie. He's one of my favorite directors. He did the movie Swingers, which is one of my favorite movies. When Tommy, when you said you were going to Vegas, I said, Vegas, baby, Vegas! Yeah, so that's one of my favorite movies. He also did Edge of Tomorrow, which is also really good with Tom Cruise. Do you have any thoughts on Doug Liman as a director, Tommy?
Oh, yeah, fan. I think you actually hit an important point. I think that I was pointing out Swingers, pretty influential to my younger life. The soundtrack to that actually shaped a lot of my younger experiences, I would say. Oh. But great movie, and y'all should give the original a try, and then see how it compares to the directorial style of this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was kind of funny because this movie was like rejected from like South by Southwest or something. Then Doug Liman's like, Jake Gyllenhaal, this was his Oscar performance. And Sean Fantasy pointed this out on The Big Picture, but it's like, it's not Oscar. It's a dumb action movie, and we don't really get those anymore. So it's very, it's interesting to see the conversation of these kinds of movies, people who make them think they're like Oscar worthy, which that people didn't think the Patrick Swayze Roadhouse when that was coming out was going to be an Oscar movie. Like it was a B movie at the time. And so,
oh yeah. Yeah. Well, see, here's the thing. I like a lot of movies that are not great. Mm-hmm. I have an appreciation for great film, but I also love a lot of not great movies. Like there's this movie called Jumper. I don't know if you guys have seen it.
I've heard of it.
It's not great, but I love it. Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Great movie. Like a great movie-going experience. Great film? No. Great movie? Yes. Right? And Doug Liman specializes in those types of movies. Mm-hmm. If you haven't seen Edge of Tomorrow, I know you've seen The Bourne Identity. So at least one of you has to have seen The Bourne Identity. Great,
I don't think
great
any
type
of them
of movie.
Have. No, oh. You. Wow. I
See,
should
I'm not
recommend
a big,
that.
Like, action. Kind of spy and all that uh-huh. stuff movie. I want to get more into that, but I haven't yet.
Yeah, Edge of Tomorrow is really good. That's like one of the most underrated movies of that decade. Yeah, so any other thoughts on Roadhouse, anybody? I mean, there's not much to say. It's just like a...
Texas Roadhouse is really good. I mean,
this is way better than Texas Roadhouse.
All I could think of during the movie was just that Family Guy clip of Peter going, Roadhouse.
Yeah.
But I do want to watch the original one. It's piqued my interest since you've talked about it. And it's definitely, I think I'm going to like that one better than mm-hmm. this. It's
on HBO Max.
Yeah, and it might be on Prime too.
Yeah, I don't like it, but I've seen it a million times. So if that tells you something, there's a couple
funny.
Movies like that for me, for whatever reason. Are you interested in watching Roadhouse, Tyler?
Yeah, I wanted to see it. I saw, what was it, 2 nights ago? I saw like the newer one.
Mm-hmm. You saw it, or you saw a trailer?
No, I just saw it like while I was scrolling past, and I was like,
"I decided not to watch that.
I needed sleep."
And for the record, the main character's name is Dalton.
Dalton.
Jake Gyllenhaal was an interesting choice because Patrick Swayze was like the guy back then, and Jake Gyllenhaal he's a good actor, but like I didn't think of him to be like a Patrick Swayze-esque character.
Who do you think could have done it?
That's a good question.
Oh, I think Jake Gyllenhaal transformed his body yet again for this role that wasn't ever going to play on screens.
He did. Yeah, and I thought that was it. I wish I could have seen it in theaters. I feel like I would have liked it a lot more if I saw it in theaters. But again, this movie is also has the conversation of streaming versus theaters because it's a big streaming movie. But everybody else has already talked about that, and we're not experts enough to get. We can well, give our.
There's rumors that they even took it to Bezos himself and asked if it could go, you know, and but there's a whole other stuff. You could follow the discourse on that. But wait, before we move off of this movie, I'd like to say something. Uh-huh. So the original one that is, you know, people think is bad. I mean, I think even Roger Ebert said it was like that top tier bad movie back in the day. But he was on to something, and I agree. I was having this conversation with my girlfriend. We watched not only the movies, the new movie. She hasn't seen the original parts of it. But then we watched all the trailers, and we watched some of the funny stuff online about them, and we had a good time. But I think that she just couldn't believe that the old one was trying to be serious. And that's the important part. It was. The new one can't really do that. I don't know if you got to this point, if you only got into halfway, but Conor McGregor is the most famous UFC fighter in the world, is the bad guy. Like, he's the big heavy in the movie. And so that's a big deal. He was the worst part of the movie for me. Mm-hmm. And this new version of movie making, it just can't help but be self-aware. The old one was trying to be serious, and that's what made it silly. You know, funny, and we can look back on it and enjoy all the awkwardness because it's just weird. The new one, it knows it's making a spoof of a of something that's been taken a variety of ways over the years, and it kind of just runs with it. And that's why they're different. But I don't think we can make a movie like Roadhouse today, the original Roadhouse. That's why we had to go in a new direction.
Yeah, it did very much have that kind of Marvel, did that just happen kind of humor. Which again, I wish it could have been serious, because then we could have enjoyed it like we enjoy the original Roadhouse, because we know what movie they're remaking, and so I don't. So if they were serious with it, it would have made it more enjoyable, I think, but I don't know. Okay, anything else that we want to say about Roadhouse?
Have either of you guys, has anybody on this call seen Nobody?
Yes, with Bob Odenkirk.
Yeah.
It was so good, and they're making a part two. Yeah, that's what
yes.
Yeah. That's kind of, it did kind of take itself more seriously than Roadhouse did, and I wish Roadhouse had the same tone as Nobody.
My girlfriend actually made the connection that between Nobody and Roadhouse, that the action or the stakes are high, but they're never really that high. And so we're able to watch this movie and know that the violence is gratuitous, but also that the stakes really aren't that high and it's all probably going to work out okay. And that you're not really invested in anybody beyond kind of the moment. And it works. It's a little self-contained story.
Another comparison I want to make is John Wick. We just talked about it a few weeks ago. We're a few weeks ahead for our recordings, so I don't think this episode is out yet. But we just talked about John Wick, and that movie is also, it's not a jokey movie. It's very self-serious, and that's kind of what makes it so enjoyable, because it takes itself so seriously. So we do have some of those movies today, but none of them that are like conventionally bad movies. They're all like really well made, and because that John Wick is by like one of the people behind The Matrix, I believe. And so a bunch of these, like, what should be B movies are actually made by A-list talent, which is a really, I guess, cool trend, but also at the same time, we don't have those bad B movies at the risk of repeating myself.
Yeah, we might not even have B movies anymore.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there's always two questions that we ask our guests, since we only have you here for like 15 more minutes. So the first one is, what is your favorite movie, or what are your favorite movies, if you can't pick one, and why?
Top movie of all time has always been It's a Wonderful Life, overtaken as I aged by A River Runs Through It. Mm-hmm. And I have a curveball, which is a nominee for Best Picture this year. And I want to give you an opportunity to guess. is now one of my top three movies of all time, I think, after one viewing.
Nominee or winner?
It's a nominee, but I won't tell you.
either Barbie or Poor Things.
I was thinking no. Or,
ooh, neither.
Is it
really Anatomy Killers of a Fall? Of the Flower Moon? Killers of the Flower Moon.
How about this? Past Lives.
Oh, Past you told Lives. Me about that. I should
have. If you haven't seen it and you have patience, amazing. Yes,
I love Past Lives. Yeah, that was in my top 10 of the year. That was so good.
Yeah.
Another movie I think that you would like that deals a lot with Tommy, that deals a lot with like relationships. It's called Right Lane. It's on Hulu. It's just a
Right Lane.
Rye Lane.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll definitely check it out.
It's just like a simple boy meets girl story, but it's told in a super interesting way.
I love relationships movies.
Yeah, I feel like you that would have been on the list of movies that you gave to our class. yeah. So, okay. Yeah. Anything else you want to say about your favorite movies or just,
yeah, well, I'm still getting to know you guys, Donald, I have a bit of an understanding of your taste. What about the other guys? I want to hear.
Oh crap. well, I guess I'm kind of all over the place, but at heart I'm like a superhero nerd. So one of my favorite movies of all time is like Spider-Man 2. I'm a big fan of the Sam Raimi trilogy.
Sure.
But I also love like La La Land. That's definitely one of my favorites. Howl's Moving Castle, Aladdin. These are like some that I have in my list. I can't pick like a number one favorite. I think it's just too hard for me. But yeah,
I hear you.
Yeah, I'm big into like the superheroes and musical kind of side of things. That's my stuff.
Cool. Awesome.
Tyler?
I prefer like a more action packed puzzle kind of movies. So like John Wick or what was that one island one that we watched for film club?
Shutter Island.
Shutter Island.
You need to go watch The Game.
The Game?
Yeah, David Fincher. Yes. Yeah, that's a good movie.
Yes, yes. If you like puzzle action, yes, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, we should watch that, Tyler. I'm going to recommend it. Anyway, but the main one that we kind of poke fun of Tyler is in the first episode, he said his favorite movie is Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, which...
I know. Oh, I heard that. That's why I wanted to get back to that.
Yeah, it's not a bad movie, but I just think
fun. It's terrible.
I think it's so funny that after every movie, Tyler says, was this better than Multiverse of Madness?
It's a great measurement right there.
Yeah. It's interesting that it's your favorite because like I loved it still because I love Sam Raimi, but I know it's not amazing. But it's still not the best Marvel movie even.
Yeah,
you know, like critically, I think Infinity War probably is the best.
Winter Soldier,
but Way Home is mine.
But why is it the best?
Because it did so much. Like it's the biggest like crossover event in cinema history we've ever had. Right.
Oh, it's crazy. Yeah.
But like that, and it's also just a crazy story that like left us with like such a, you know, open-ended or like it left us on this cliffhanger that everybody was like, we gotta get the next one now.
Yeah, we knew it was a two-parter already before it even came out.
Did we?
Yeah.
What, Infinity War?
And Endgame.
Yeah.
I guess you could get it, like have that implied because...
Well, he's saying we knew that before the movie came out.
I don't remember.
See, I couldn't remember them saying that.
Anyway, and then the other question that we always ask, and I guess we can give our answers, but we don't really have to since we kind of do every week.
Got it.
What are your top three musical artists at the moment?
At the moment, I am excited that these guys named the Avett Brothers are still recording. I'm a big Avett Brothers fan. Yeah. I love this guy named Josh Ritter. But I think that I'm still jamming to AJR. I love AJR. I've seen them twice. I think they're great. I don't care if I'm a little bit out of their age range. I dig it. I think the orchestration's awesome, and I also think that the beats are great. So,
did you know that we just covered in our most recent the Avett Brothers documentary May It Last? Did you tell him about that, Donald?
No, I don't think so.
No, because I thought I looked at your most recent episode, and I didn't see that.
We're pretty behind. Like, this might be for a few episodes, but yeah we just covered that.
Well, how about that? I didn't know. I love them. What do you guys think about it?
It's one of my favorite documentaries.
Like, I didn't watch it.
but you really should.
I guess I nailed it, though. I nailed that one. That's the one, I guess, basically the entire movie.
you did. Good job.
The Avett Brothers are one of my favorite like musical act of all time. We had in the episode that we did the documentary, we had one of my buddies who's like a kind of independent rapper. His name is Emerson Corleone. So we had him on to cover the movie, and it was really interesting.
Cool.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Small world.
Yeah. Anyway, so do we want to go through ours? Or is it pretty much the same?
I guess mine switched up.
I don't listen to very much more new music.
Well, I guess I've been, my number one's probably back again at Beatles. I've been listening to the Beatles recently because, for my sound recording class, we were going to do a recording project. We have to record our own thing and mix it. And I'm probably going to cover a Beatles song, so I've been looking around for that. But I've also been listening to The Strokes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Because my friend is going to record them. Or not them, but we're going to record a cover of them. Mm-hmm. So I've been listening to them a lot. And then I'd probably say Frank Sinatra.
Okay. Is This It is one of my favorite albums. And then their new one. Have you listened to the new Abnormal? Their new one. It's really good. I really what's it called? The Adults Are Talking, something like that. That's one of my favorite.
That's the song we're covering.
Yeah, that's one of my. That's from their new album.
Okay, that's what I thought because I remember you telling us about them not too long ago, and I thought they were a recent band, but they started a long time ago and they've just kind of been coming back.
Tyler, what about you?
I said it was about the same.
Just the same.
Yeah.
It's basically like Radiohead, LCD Sound System, and still like Aapex Twin and Fleet Foxes. Like, I'm not gonna go through and list my whole thing like I did in one of our
say Glorb.
Yeah. But yeah. Anyway, we're about to talk about the Sam Raimi original Spider-Man movie. Tommy, if you have anything to say about that movie, if not, then thanks for coming on.
Yeah, give us your thoughts on Spider-Man if you want.
All right, so here's my question. Were any of you born when this came out?
No. I would have been born when Spider-Man 2 came out.
When did it come out?
Spider-Man came out in 2002.
So that was the year I was born. So depending on what month it came out, I was probably a baby.
You were a baby.
No.
We're not born.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Spider-Man 2002. Month. I probably would
have
been a baby.
Yeah, let's start there. So what were you guys doing when this movie came out? Nothing.
Apparently it came out in May, so I was not born.
I wasn't even...
Yeah.
Existed.
It's a good starting point because you should know that I saw this movie in the theaters the year after I graduated high school.
Okay.
Right? And so think about what we just talked about how formative superhero movies are in our lives today. Well, this was the thing that ushered in that era. I know Iron Man started the Marvel, kicked off the Marvel Universe thing, but this was the movie that started the ball rolling to make movie studios think that they could actually do this thing.
Definitely.
It's a big deal.
Yeah, definitely it was. I think it's crazy that they got Sam Raimi to do it. A weird choice, but a great choice. I think what he did was amazing.
Well, he did Evil Dead before this, so sold them on it. But
really, it was Evil Dead selling them.
X-Men, the original X-Men movie came out like a few years before this, but yeah, this was the first. This was like after the ball,
right?
See, X-Men,
but it did. It was not the same. Not the same feel. Yeah. Not the same feel. Right. It was. A big X-Men fan right here. Right. I loved the X-Men. This changed the game, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love X-Men too, but Spider-Man's it's like everybody can go see that and actually relate and love the character.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely a lot more popular.
When was the last time you've seen it, Tommy?
Well, in preparation for this, I know some of us don't do our homework, and that's just part of the gig. But I, as a teacher, I do my homework, so I watch all of the movies. But I was having a conversation with my girlfriend about it. She's a big fan of this movie of all three, including the third, which you guys should talk about how they're not making the fourth, and they should. But she was really hung up on the fact that he was, the whole thing started because he wanted to buy a car to impress MJ, and he saw the ad at the bottom of the page. Like, the whole thing relies on that, like him going to wrestle because he sees the ad at the bottom of the page. And it's the right amount to buy the car, things like that.
True.
It's Bonesaw is ready. We used to have a joke, me and my friend Jack Armstrong, shout out. Our joke was, don't you know who I am? I played Bonesaw in the original Spider-Man movie. Yeah. Anyway, I've seen this movie a million times. It's Spider-Man 2, I still feel like, is better. But,
oh, it is.
I was surprised how much I enjoyed this movie on this most recent watch. I watched it a few days ago, and I was like, okay, I'll turn it on. Maybe I'll play some Switch during it. You know, Princess Peach Showtime just came out. But I was locked in. Like, I just watched it to the end. Which I was surprised by, because I thought, I don't know. I thought I've seen it so many times that I just need a little bit of a refresher, but it was really, really good. And I used to have it as an 8, and I think I raised it to a 9 if I...
No, you have it on an 8 right now.
Okay, well, I'll raise it to a 9 now, because it's really good.
Yeah, I agree. The CG, like, doesn't hold up the best in some areas. There are some where it's,
the Green,
like,
Goblin decent. Looks so silly.
I don't know. I kind of like the Green Goblin. At least, like, when it's not CG, his suit is very cool. And I thought, that's completely original to my knowledge, because in the comics, he was, like, a man in a purple and green costume, and it's just completely different, and they took their own approach with it, and I think it's so, like, I think they did well, because it's instantly recognizable now with anybody, and yeah. But other than that, like, the movie's just really good. It is very cheesy, though, I think, and some of it's, like, transitions, like, when Peter's looking at, the newspaper and seeing, like, the car sign or whatever, and it has all these, like, cheesy fade-ins with, like, MJ's face, and, like, it's very funny, though. It's a nostalgic movie, and it's, you know, comforting. Like, I could just watch that.
Tyler, did you watch it?
No.
Why?
Get out. I understand Roadhouse, but Spider-Man, I don't.
What about it made you not want to watch it? Did you just not have time?
Not time.
I don't know that.
Well, have you seen it before?
A long time ago.
Should we do Tyler's synopsis of Spider-Man?
We should do Tyler's synopsis.
Tyler, what do you think happens?
He gets bit by a spider and becomes Spider-Man.
Okay, well, duh.
Saves the city.
Duh.
Take that one back.
Wrestles. Yes. Wrestles, fights a guy, gets the girl.
Take that back.
Problem solved.
No problem, not solved. You don't know Spider-Man's character at all, do you?
He fights the Rhino guy.
It's important when you realize that there's a lot of, like, kissing your best friend's partner thing going along in this movie.
Yeah.
I'm interested in that angle.
trying to kill your best friend's dad, you know. It's just...
Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Tommy, who's your favorite Spider-Man?
Ooh,
great question. So I once drank coffee next to the Spider-Man in this movie.
Wow.
At a coffee shop in Los Angeles. So I would like to say that I got the closest to that one. But you know what? I'm gonna go for Andrew Garfield.
What the fuck? I'm a Toby.
I like,
at the end of the day,
I like being a contrarian.
Well, Andrew is very good. I think he made a great Spider-Man. His Peter, to me, isn't as great, because he's a very he's a very good-looking guy, which isn't exactly what I see for Peter Parker all the time.
Yeah.
But
I actually think we landed on the best Spider-Man now. I think we have him.
Yeah, I think Tom is, like, the perfect blend, and where he is right now in the MCU is, like, perfect, and they have the opportunity to make the best Spider-Man movie probably, unless Sony screws it up.
Mm-hmm.
As they are trying to. Mm-hmm. Sony's trying to make it a multiverse movie when it needs to just be street level.
Yeah.
Peter Porker.
Did any of us see Madam Web?
No.
Did you, Tommy?
I haven't yet, but my girlfriend wants to watch it, so I will.
Fair enough.
Did you happen to hear the joke about it during the Oscars?
No, I don't think so.
Oh yeah, there's a great joke.
Oh, from Jimmy Kimmel?
No, actually.
Oh.
Was it from Sydney Sweeney? Are you talking about that joke?
Because we watched the Oscars live.
Well, we had troubles getting into it, so we missed, like, probably the beginning 30 minutes or so.
Yeah. My favorite Spider-Man is probably Tom Holland.
That's fair.
But I also really like Tobey Maguire. I used to think he was too whiny.
I get that people think he's too old for the role. That's understandable, but I don't know. He's just... I think he's really good to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're okay with 30-year-old high school students. Yeah, that's okay. Exactly. We can get our brains around it.
Yeah. Anyway, about Spider-Man, I find it interesting that Ang Lee's Hulk came out, I think, a year after this, because it's still the same kind of cheesy, like, transitions and everything, but it's also secretly, like, a Freudian, like, movie about Ang Lee dealing with his daddy issues and everything, which is a really weird angle to go with for a superhero movie, but that's probably why it failed, but I really like the Ang Lee Hulk. I don't know what our... This isn't a Hulk discussion, but I don't know what our thoughts are on that movie. Have you seen it?
Ang Lee Hulk.
Really?
No, I don't think I've ever finished Edward Norton's one either.
Okay. bless you. Have you seen it, Tommy? The Ang Lee Hulk?
Yes, I have.
You like it?
Yeah, sure. We're talking about the Hulk.
Yeah, because it came out a year after this, and it's a much different angle than this one, which I find.
Oh, yeah. No, as far as I'm concerned, we were really excited about it when it came out, but no, I didn't get into the Hulk until Ragnarok.
Ah.
Okay. I feel that.
Do you read any of the Marvel comics?
Oh, I don't now, but I used to back in the day.
Oh, yeah?
You know, back when this movie came out before y'all were born.
Fair enough. Yeah, if we have nothing else to say about Spider-Man, I guess. Like, we're going to talk more in depth.
Okay,
Tommy, if you have nothing else to say about Spider-Man, it seems like you're busy. So, anything else you want to say about Spider-Man?
No, I just wanted to thank you guys for having me on. Maybe we can have a talk about a film, or maybe you can walk me through some anime to help me understand it. I really appreciate those, by the way.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah.
But
anyway, yeah, anything else you want to say, Tommy?
No, I'll get off here and let you guys get to the meat of things, but thanks for having me. Uh-huh. You guys should know, I'm going to leave you with a controversial opinion. Roadhouse, both of them, better than the Spider-Man that you're talking about.
Nope, you just got canceled.
You take that one, and you guys have a good one, okay?
Uh-huh. See ya.
See ya later.
Take care.
Yeah, hopefully you can come back on when you're not at an airport.
Yeah, all right, will do. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. That was Tommy Adams. Thanks, Tommy, for coming on. Now for going back to Spider-Man.
I got this.
Yeah.
This
is going to be a fairly short episode.
Is that good?
So, no.
Oh.
We'll reveal what it is at the end.
Tell me what you know about the McRib. I don't know if any of you have seen that meme yet.
No.
That comes back when the pork prices are low.
Do y'all remember the meme where it's like Willem Dafoe and he's like, I'm something of a scientist mm-hmm. myself? So somebody's like overdubbed that entire scene. And it's him talking about how he knows about McRibs. And then it like transitions to a scene. Because Peter's like, they're okay, I guess. And then there's like a whole monologue of Willem Dafoe talking about the McRib. It's just so stupid. But anyway, so this movie is kind of peak, if you didn't know it already. You have it as a 9.
Spider-Man 2 is better.
Yeah, Spider-Man 2 is better. That's just...
That's like a 4. Plus. Don't worry.
If there's something better than it, then it's not peak.
That's not true. Mm-hmm. You know how many movies... You had called Mario vs. Donkey Kong peak, and there are so many things better than that. Yes, there are. I was kind of recalling the early comics of Spider-Man when watching this movie, and it's kind of interesting to think, because, like, it's pretty... It's got some, like, similar aspects. But it's kind of interesting, because Mary Jane, for example, she doesn't go to high school with her. And, in fact, we, like, hear slight mentions of her throughout the, like, first... I've read, like, the first 15 issues or so. But we never meet her for a while, and I can't remember when it is. But when we do, it's, like, this whole, she opens the door or whatever, and she's there. And it's, like, this... You hit the jackpot thing, because her, like... famous line is face it tiger, you just hit the jackpot. But I was kind of interested seeing that they made Mary Jane just a high schooler with him. Yeah, that was interesting. And the Green Goblin also in the comics, he's not like super crazy. He wants to like get rid of Spider-Man, and from what I read, we're not exactly sure why. But he just didn't like Spider-Man. So he would always try to fight him, and he used this old team called the Enforcers. which has never been adapted to comics or to shows yet. If they do, it'll be something with Fisk usually. But it also, it was funny because one of the comics with the Green Goblin returning, it led to a crossover with the Hulk, which is funny. But yeah, it's just kind of interesting because in this movie, Green Goblin's a lot more like crazy, sinister, and you don't see that in the comic as much yet. Like, I think further down the line we do, but I think they took inspiration from Joker when bringing in the Green Goblin. It's interesting that he's also, like, Spider-Man's probably most memorable villain, because he was not introduced in for a while in the comics, you know. We get Dr. Octopus, Mysterio, Kraven, even, before him. And I don't know. I
would put Doc Ock more notable than...
I think Doc Ock's more notable, but Green Goblin's definitely the most. Everybody kind of... Well, what do you mean?
The most iconic?
Most known for, like...
Probably Green Goblin, because he was in this movie. But if he wasn't in this movie, then I would say Doc Ock. Like, if this movie wasn't the first, like, mainstream piece of Spider-Man media.
I think just Green Goblin gets a little more recognition.
I recognize Doc Ock as...
Well, the thing is, Green Goblin has more events, because, you know, he is linked to... he's linked to the, you know, death of Gwen Stacy, and that's one of the big things. Like, he's linked to Gwen Stacy's death, which is probably why he's more popular.
Yeah, but not in movies. Doc Ock.
No, in movies, I'd have to say it's Green Goblin.
Yeah, but I say non movies, it would be Doc Ock.
No.
Yes.
I want to say that. I think Doc Ock is my favorite Spider-Man villain. But...
Not Venom?
No.
Venom.
Anyways. I could go into a full, like, story summary of this movie, but I probably shouldn't. But pretty much, let's see. So, I'll, like, do it a quicker one. Mm-hmm. We meet Peter Parker, and we can tell that he's kind of like this outcast teenager in high school. One of the nerd groups. Something I relate to. But on a field trip to to some science facility. I don't think it was Oscorp. But, they were looking at all these spiders and stuff, and as Peter's taking pictures for their school yearbook, of Mary Jane, which... is kind of how we see that Peter Parker has an interest in her, or a romantic interest. We see that a spider comes down and bites him, and obviously this is how he gets his powers, as everybody probably knows. And this will be spoilers for the whole story. You know, he goes back to his house, whatever, and he's feeling weak and whatnot. When he wakes up the next day, he's stronger, and he doesn't need glasses to see anymore, so he starts noticing weird things. And when he goes to school, he gets in a fight with Flash Thompson, and absolutely decimates the kid. But yeah, so we start seeing that he's changing, and it's very cool, because it's Peter Parker and it's Tobey Maguire, who's the best actor ever.
Tommy apparently drank coffee next, too.
Yeah, that's...
yeah, that's why I wanted to have him on.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, he has a bunch of stories like that I'm surprised he didn't tell. But anyway.
But yeah, so we also meet, Harry Osborn at the start of the movie, and that introduced us to Norman Osborn, who becomes Green Goblin, and we find out that his company is, like, trying to make this serum. I believe it's a serum that, you know, like, enhances human strength. It's kind of like, think of the serum that Captain America has. But the people were getting, or, like, the military was getting anxious or short with him. And, like, if you don't have this, we're going to cut your funding, and then Oscorp kind of would have been screwed. So, Osborn had to take the risk, and he went ahead and tried it on himself, and it went bad, obviously. He kills his lab partner, and that's all we know for that time being. But as the movie develops, and Peter Parker starts doing, well, you know, I missed a big thing. So, Peter Parker starts talking more with Mary Jane, and now, at this point, like, yeah, he's got a crush on her. So, he's looking at this paper, and he finds an ad. Like, he's looking at cars, because he saw that Mary Jane was, like, in love with Flash's new car. So, he's like, oh, if I have a car, you know, the ladies are gonna love me, and Mary Jane in particular. Which is kind of funny, because that's just something you see in, like, those cheesy rom-com movies. Like, oh, you gotta have the nice car, you know, and you get all the ladies. But anyways, as he's looking in there, he keeps going, and finally gets to a $1,000 car, and he sees an ad in the news for if you can stay 3 minutes in the cage or whatever with Bonesaw,
you get $1,000.
So he got a makeshift suit. He goes into the wrestling place, and he gets in the thing, and it's like a cage. So he like hops up on the top of it so Bonesaw can't attack him. But eventually he comes down and just beats Bonesaw. And it's only like a minute and a half throughout. So after he won the little tussle, I guess, he's going out. And when he goes to get money, the guy only gave him $100. He's like, that's a 3,000. Or not 3,000. 1,000. And he's like, that was for 3 minutes, whatever. So, and he's like, ugh. But Peter's like, I need that money. And then the dude's like, I forgot the part where that's my problem. So as Peter's leaving,
but he said that because the guy said, I forgot the part where that's my problem after Peter wanted money from him.
That's what he just said.
He just cut it.
You know, he just jumped up ahead. Because the guy gets robbed now, so he loses money. And the guy's running to the elevator where Peter's at, and Peter didn't stop him. So the police comes up. He's like, why didn't you stop the dude? And then the other guy who gave Peter that $100 is like, you could have stopped that guy. Now he's gone away with all my money.
I forgot the part where that's my problem.
Yeah. But this is the thing where things go bad. Before Peter went to the wrestling match, he told his Aunt May and Uncle Ben, that, you know, he's going to the library, and Uncle Ben's kind of been worried about him because they've been growing apart since they used to be so, like, they were very tight, but since he's gotten his powers, he's kind of just been growing away from them. So Uncle Ben takes him and, like, takes him there, and he's trying to have a talk to him, and Peter's kind of just shoving him off. And, you know, and then, like, the last thing he said to him was, like, well, you stop trying to be my father or whatever, and he storms away. But as Peter gets outside, and people are, like, crowding around somebody, and Peter gets in there, and he sees that his Uncle Ben was shot. Obviously, everybody knows this is a big thing. But this is where you kind of start to see Peter Parker's character. Well, I mean, this is true. Actually, no. This is what I kind of found interesting from the comics. I'm not surprised that they did this, because in the comic, he does go wrestling, whatever, but his Uncle Ben didn't take him or anything, and how he found out was, as he's coming home, there were police cars by his house. And a police officer just comes up to him and says, your uncle's been shot. And that was it. And he got mad and whatever, and he would try to go find the culprit. But in this case, we know they connected us more with the character, which makes sense. And so Peter Parker's enraged, and he tries to go find the guy who shot Uncle Ben. And when he finds out it was the same person who he let get away, you know, it kind of made him realize with great power is going to come with the great responsibility that Uncle Ben said. That's where the movie you can finally kind of get in, and I won't go further into detail, but pretty much, Peter graduates, moves into the city with Harry, and they're sharing a room. Harry and Mary Jane are dating, but that's kind of a rocky relationship because Norman Osborn's a fellow. Green Goblin attacks, Spider-Man stops him, but yeah, and I really summed it up near the end. A great movie, though. You need to go watch this if you haven't. But Willem Dafoe's performance is amazing. Like, he's probably one of the best actors I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And his Green Goblin performance is amazing. I really liked him in Poor Things as well. What I think is very, like, well done in this movie, that's very true to his, like, Peter Parker character, is that he doesn't win. Peter Parker's life is kind of sad. And it's because it's, you know, he lost his Uncle Ben, and then he can't get the girl. Even though he wants to, and she wants him, he knows it's, like, for the best that he's not with her. So he sacrifices these things for the greater good. And Peter's life is always kind of like that in comics. You know, he's never always, like, happy. That's just a testament to Spider-Man's character.
What's your favorite Spider-Man graphic novel?
Oh, God. I'm going to say either Spider-Man Blue or Kraven's Last Hunt.
Oh, did you read Spider-Man Blue?
Yes, it's amazing. I love Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale's works very much. I think they're probably my favorite, like, comic duo. They're just so good. Tim Sale's art is so, like, seemingly simplistic but beautiful. And Jeff Loeb's writing, it just hits home. Like, it's quick to read, too. So it's just very good. and because like Long Halloween is probably my favorite Batman comic. But Kraven's Last Hunt is also an amazing story. Obviously, it's about Kraven's Last Hunt with Spider-Man. If you haven't read it, you should go read it. I'm not going to go into that one because you just need to read it. It's great. I know you're never going to read it. You might read it.
I have it.
Yeah, that's right. You have it, so you should read it. I'm referring to Donald. Tyler's never going to read it. He doesn't read.
I do like reading. I just
he likes to read, but when he tries to read, he can't focus.
Because he has ADHD. And narcolepsy.
The thing is, and it's kind of more not just the movie, it's just about Spider-Man. I think what made Spider-Man so successful is when Stan Lee and Steve Ditko created him, he was different than the superheroes of the time. You had, like, Fantastic Four, or the big ones. I believe the X-Men were out by now, and we had Captain America from a while ago. But, you know, superheroes are just becoming more popular, because I have this Penguin Classics, like, Amazing Spider-Man collection that covers, like, the first 15 issues with some, you know, written works about the character and other people's thoughts. But what I think was crazy, and it's like Stan Lee and Steve Ditko, when they created him, he was a teenager. He was just an awkward teenager, which was completely different from all the other heroes we've seen so far. Fantastic Four is a family of, I mean, other than Johnny Storm, but even Johnny Storm was, you know, he was more popular and more bougie. But Peter Parker's just your average teenager, kind of like us when we were in high school or middle school. But he was somebody that, like, people could relate to, and I think that's what made it crazy. Or not crazy, that's just what made it, like, made Spider-Man so cool. Because when I was reading
it's
that...
It's because it slowed down the pace of how he got his powers?
Because
that's all that was said there. Was that it's more focused on him getting his powers than it was... And adapting to them as a high school student instead of instantly being able to adapt to them. Like, Captain America was just a scrawny man, and then he got the super serum. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about more of the comics. I'm talking about how Peter Parker was an average teenager, like, kind of loner, that people could relate to, how he wasn't always so successful.
Same with Steve Rogers, where he could barely get into the military.
I don't know how true that is to the comics. You're just getting that from the movie.
Yes, same.
But once again, this guy was trying to go
on
war.
Just
because
you're obsessed on Spider-Man doesn't mean you can
just...
because
I'm talking about Spider... No, because Captain America...
the other ones.
Because Steve Rogers was out of high school. He was an adult. He was trying to get into the... Well, he was probably 18. 19. He was trying to go to the Army. What I'm saying is Peter Parker was still in high school.
Yes.
They graduated him really early in Spider-Man, which is fine. In the movie, but, like, he was in high school for probably the first 20 issues or so of Spider-Man. Spider-Man.
Yes, I'm just saying he's younger and has to adapt to his powers.
I'm not even talking about the powers. I'm talking about his character. Like, he's kind of a loser. He's not always...
So was Steve Rogers.
No, Steve Rogers was not a loser.
Then what was he?
He was just a guy who was trying to get in the Army.
That could not get into the Army because he was a loser.
No, he couldn't get into the Army because he had a bunch of health issues.
Exactly. A loser.
Are you a loser?
Yes.
For being overweight?
Yes.
Tubby!
But narcolepsy
Are
and
you?
ADHD?
Yeah. I can't get a lot of jobs because I'm on Adderall.
Tyler, and you're not trying to get other jobs. What if you're going to stay at Domino's. I don't believe... I don't believe the Adderall's affecting, to be honest. I think it's... You have a job at Domino's, and that's it.
Would you trust me to drive to pilot your plane?
No.
No.
See? That's why I can't get it.
It wouldn't be no, you're not properly
you're not
trained.
Qualified.
But if I was?
Sure.
And yeah.
I want to be able to.
Okay. It's probably for the fucking greater good. I mean, you fell asleep on the road before.
Speaking of that, anything else you have to say?
Yes, I'm still fucking talking! I'm sorry that I actually want to talk about the movie that I recommended.
This is like Nate's... This is like Donald's, like, 17 albums.
Yeah. No, I'm joking. It's interesting.
But when I was reading the Penguin Classics, this guy was writing about his brother. Because his older brother... So the guy who was writing would always read his older brother's comics after he's read them or whatever. And he noticed that his brother was getting, like, a lot of Amazing Spider-Man. And his brother was not really, like, popular in high school or anything. He was just kind of an average kid. And when he asked him, his older brother, like, why do you like Spider-Man so much? He's like, he's somebody I can relate to. like, I feel, you know, he feels like he can connect with Peter Parker. And that's what I'm trying to get at. Peter Parker was kind of this character that people were connecting to, and it made them feel like they could also do something amazing. But you just had to ruin that by trying to talk about Captain America when I'm focusing on Spider-Man's character.
And saying he wasn't like the rest.
He wasn't.
You just make him younger.
I don't know what the comics were for Captain America. Either. But
so you they, can't, so you,
Peter
you just,
Parker was... That's not me so pulling shit out of my ass. No, no, shut the fuck up and let
him
me talk.
Isolating and being different from the rest.
No, no! Nate's walking out of the room. No!
I'm just saying, if you haven't seen the rest, you can't isolate and say that this one's different than the rest.
You're late.
If you let me finish, can you?
Yeah.
All right. So this isn't me just pulling shit out of my ass. It's documented. People have said, and I, it was different than the superheroes for the time. It was different than Fantastic Four. It was different from X-Men. It was also because it wasn't a superhero group. It was a single guy, and it was
like
also
Captain America. You keep going. No, that was the only statement.
Nope. You're right.
You keep going.
No.
Is there nothing else?
I. What do you want me to talk about? I'm trying to. Hang on.
Okay. I'm just saying the only difference is age and relating to him being in high school, which I would consider the only main differences between Captain America and Spider-Man.
So, Steve Rogers, yes. He had a frail body, yes.
Yes.
But he wanted to be in the army. Yes. And he got offered to, like, do the serum.
Yeah.
That's not some normal kid. Not a normal kid off the street's going to get that. And what I'm saying is not every... Let's just take our population here. Do you want to join the army? Do you want to join the army?
Sure.
No, you're lying. You're just trying to prove a point. And you know you're wrong, and you can't. We've already had this conversation.
But what was that field trip for that he went on?
School field trip to the science lab. Like a science place.
So you have to like, want to know science?
No.
Yes. So the entire school went?
His class went. So Tyler, we went on field trips in high school, too, that we didn't want to go to.
Yes. No. No, no, that we didn't want to go to.
Yes.
No.
I'm sorry you slept through them or got detention so you couldn't go. But Steve Rogers wanted to go into the army. Not every guy wants to do that. But what I'm saying is Peter Parker is literally an average kid who just...
Well, not average. He's smarter.
He is a smart kid, but yes. That makes him, like us, well, I'm not the smartest. We're pretty smart until you decide to be dumbass. just kind of, we can be outcasts, you know? Like, people who were bullied as kids in school, they could relate to him. They can't relate to Captain America in the same sense.
Peter Parker was bullied.
Peter Parker was bullied.
I'm just being tired.
So was Captain America, we just didn't get his high school life. I mean, from the movie at least, yeah, we see that, like, I don't know if he was necessarily bullied, but he'd stand up for the weak, which is good. But that's also not something.
That's also a sign of him wanting to join the army.
Okay.
It's just that his body wasn't to where he needed it to be for his mindset.
Why are we talking about Captain America?
I don't know.
Anyway.
So... Since it seems like I shouldn't talk anymore. In short, I just wanted to give some more insight on Spider-Man's character, because I love him. He's, you know, he's probably my second favorite hero. I think Batman's probably my first, which I know these are really basic answers, but Spider-Man's very special, and he's always had a place in my heart. I've always followed his journeys throughout my life. And he's just somebody I just enjoy. You know, whenever I'm watching his media or reading his comics or playing the games, it's a good time. This was the start of the movies that, you know, would just define generations. And, you know, like Tommy said, it really did kick the ball for future projects because Spider-Man, like this, after they saw the success of this movie, there was a slate of a ton of Marvel movies that were supposed to come out, not related to the MCU, like this was before MCU time, but, you know, there's supposed to be a Daredevil movie. Well, we got the Daredevil. But there was supposed to be an Iron Man movie. That wasn't what we got. There was supposed to be, you know, I can't remember. I think we were supposed to get a Moon Knight movie. They had, like, a list, and it's been a second since I've seen it. But it did get the ball rolling. It's a very influential movie because of that. It's definitely better than both Roadhouses. But, yeah, I mean, I gave this movie a 9 out of 10, and I think it definitely deserves that at least. The CG is a bit
Dated.
And, actually, that's something I do want to talk about. So, when I was talking to my friend Brendan, my roommate...
He's been on the show before.
Yes, he has. Whenever we're watching, I'm like, the CG just isn't that good here. And he's like, yeah, well, it came out this period, though, so I'm not going to fault it for that. He was like, I'm going to cut it some slack. And I kind of wanted to get your guys' input on that, because when I see CG that's pretty bad, I'm usually going to, like, knock a point down. And I think that's fair, because, like, me and him kind of had a whole argument about it. He's like, you think about the time this came out and their budget. I looked it up, and Spider-Man's budget was $136 million, which is pretty good. And I was looking up, like, best CGI movies for the time for, like, 2002, and Lord of the Rings Two Towers came out then. And apparently its CG is amazing. I haven't seen the movie yet. But it only had a budget of, like, $96 million. So it's like, do you think if the CG looks bad, you should, you know, take that into matter for, like, when you're reviewing something?
If it came out a long time ago, then...
Well, like, 2002, have. Though. I mean, I know CGI wasn't amazing, but I feel like what we saw was still not...
They just tried to do too much with... They were too ambitious with it.
Like, it did kind of have, like, a Sam Raimi touch to it, I think, with the CG. Just kind of weird.
I mean, I don't really have the technical insight.
Yeah, but. I agree. Because that's something Brendan was also saying. Like, maybe they didn't have the best computer systems or people to work on it.
Well,
but I kind of brought that back to budget.
Let's compare this CGI to the Star Wars CGI, which is better.
Well, see, I can't... You're a prequels. That's what I said. Yeah. He said the prequels weren't that good looking.
Well, even though it had a bigger budget, it's still, like, the first... Because that was... What was the Two Towers?
It's the second one, but like I said, it had a $96 million budget.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's also the second one.
But it's still a smaller budget.
Yes, I'm understanding, but it's still the first Spider-Man instead of the second Lord of the Rings, where it already has a setup thing, and then because you have the budget to set up more than you already have. Well, you already have a preset cast that probably already has contracts set up for the thing, and so you're including, you have to pay the actors out of that budget as well.
Well, usually when it's a first movie, from what I remember, and this could be completely wrong, when you contract actors, they don't get, like, a shit ton of movie or money for the first. It's usually as the success, it's usually dependent on success, and then with their contract, the more movies they make, the more money they're going to make.
Yeah, I'm still saying it's paid out. Well, you already have eight.
So when are they be paying Lord of the Rings for actors?
No, not necessarily if you already have them on a contract. But because you're already off of books, you're just going to make more movies. You can already predict the success. And then you also have sets that are also preset up.
Yeah, I can't comment on that because I haven't seen the movies, and I will.
I haven't seen any of the Lord. I haven't seen any of the Lord of the Rings, and has been.
So yeah, I'm not sure if the sets are the same. I'm gonna say costume design at least is the same.
Yeah, most of the costumes.
But that's the thing, like the Spider-Man. You know, the costumes are mostly bland, except for, you know, Spider-Man, Green Goblin. It's mostly like, usual people clothing. So I don't think costume design was a huge cost for this movie.
Or anything that gets set up to be destroyed. Mm-hmm. And isn't CGI?
What?
Anything that gets destroyed. That isn't CGI, like, is actually blown up or destroyed. Eats out the budget.
Alright.
Okay,
so yeah. Like I said, 9 out of 10. Great movie. You gotta watch this if you haven't.
Yeah, Tyler should have watched it.
You do need to watch
it. I also think it's less CGI because it's in, like, a city, and it's not, like, a giant land, fantasy land.
Which might be why it makes
this is why you Spider-Man can do so much more CGI weirder. In a fantasy land.
But the Hobbit movie's CGI is not that great.
CGI is... we can get into a whole conversation with that, which I probably want to in the next episode when I get more research and everything. But anyway, I think that's going to do it for the episode. I'm really tired, and I'm really hungry, and my computer is about to die.
All right. All right. We can stop. Tyler, what's your recommendation?
Well, I have some movie news real quick. If anybody's seen the Rebel Moon on Netflix, part two comes out in 3 weeks.
Did you watch the first one?
A little bit of it. Most of it. My dad put it on. I watched.
You're not going to watch part two without finishing part one, right?
No, I finished, like, I watched, like, beginning-ish. I was trying to, like, go to sleep. And then I watched, and I got it from, like, so I got most of the parts in the beginning.
So what you're saying is you want to cover...
No, it's not the recommendation. I was just saying...
No, I mean, but... Part two comes out. You want us to talk about it when it comes out.
Yeah.
I have to watch the first one.
Yeah. Which, that's what I'm saying. It comes out 3 weeks, so if we can watch the first one, and then we can talk about the part two.
Anyway, Tyler, what's your recommendation?
The Platform on Netflix.
Oh, okay. Platform, huh?
It's a... I can give it a little preference. It's a 100 levels of prison floors, and it's a platform goes down in between them.
Have you seen it?
I have not.
All right,
my dad has, and it has food on it until the top, and you can get as much food as you want, and it has enough food to feed all the prisoners, and it comes from the top floor all the way to the bottom. You can take as much as you want.
Okay. So if you want to watch The Platform, that's on Netflix.
Yep. It's only like an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh, Fantasy rated it a 5 out of 10. Yes, yeah, I'll have to rate it a 5 out of 10.
Well, Fantasy, did I mention that I've interviewed him?
You didn't.
Oh, wait, I didn't.
Yeah. Anyway, guys, that's our episode. Tyler, what were you drinking?
Squeeze lemonade, pink lemonade. You're
talking about the next for Circle. Netflix film, right?
Yes.
Is it good?
Yeah.
Really good?
Yep.
God tier?
Yep. No.
No?
Yep, no.
So really good?
Hey, it's on my list. Interesting.
The Honeycrisp apple's way better.
Yeah, I want those. I want one of those. Nate,
did you get it? Did you get it for your battle?
Nate, what were you drinking?
I was trying this Trader Joe's lemon elderflower soda. It's fine. It's not expired like the last one I had.
Oh, then give me one. You said it was bad.
Okay, guys, that was our episode.
Thanks for joining us again.
Yep, thank you for Tommy Adams for coming on. I've been meaning to talk to him for a while, so that was really nice. Anyway, yeah. Anything else you guys want to say? Dialer? No. End us off, Dialer.
Truck broken.
Oh, yeah.
Truck blew up.
So, what, are you driving your Jeep now?
It's also getting fixed. It should be fixed today, though.
Okay, well, we'll have a riveting Tyler vehicle update next episode. My computer's about to die. Bye.